Well, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering here this morning. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Yes, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Come on, saints. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Yeah, get happy for Jesus. Get happy for Jesus. Get happy for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, we love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We can get all excited about the Broncos and the Green Bays and all the other things, man. We ought to get excited for Jesus. Amen. Jack Conley, some of you don't know who he is, and maybe you do know who he is. And so their boy was, Jack Jr., was rushed to the hospital this morning. So I'm going to pray for him, and I want you to join and agree. Amen. Father God, right now we lift up Jack Jr., Lord, and we speak healing into his body, Lord. I bind you, Satan, from his body. I bind the principalities from his body. I thank you, Lord, for the cross. I thank you, Lord, for the stripes on your back that's flowing in the authority of the name of Jesus. I speak it into his body right now. There'll be no sickness overcoming him. There'll be no disease. Your power is broken, Satan. Sickness is broken off from his body. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, as we stand in agreement, Lord, releasing our faith in the cooperative anointing, Lord, in Jack Jr.'s body right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, for the praise report, for the doctors will not understand why he's in the hospital, because they can find nothing wrong with him, because we believe your report, Lord Jesus Christ, and we speak it into his body in the blessed name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Well, we're talking about miracles. Hallelujah. You know God wants to do miracles. See, a lot of us, we get locked into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but Jesus did all those miracles and healings and everything else. They weren't even saved. Now he goes to the cross, he dies, and he's taken up to heaven. He sends the fullness of his Holy Spirit into our lives. Amen? And then from that point on, he talks about the renewed mind the Spirit of God does through Paul. He talks about giving no place to the devil. He talks about spiritual warfare. And he talks about all kinds of different things from the book of Acts on. And he also, in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the gift of miracles. And sometimes he just sovereignly moves on our lives because he loves us. So there's no set thing that we can get into to try to move the hand of God. All we got to do is pray and have faith. And sometimes he just loves us. You know, when he went into, in this first miracle, he went into the wedding. He didn't go into the wedding crowd and say, well, if you believe, I'll get you some more wine. He just did it. He saw a need. He just did it. Well, that's the kind of God that loves us. And so if you're expecting a miracle, keep on believing for it. If you got a great need and need a miracle, God will do it. And it's not based on what you've done. It's based on what Jesus has already done. But it's not wrong to pray and to praise and worship him and so on and so forth. But you're not going to twist God's arm by doing all the things that we're taught to do. The Word of God teaches to walk by faith, to renew our minds, to do spiritual warfare, to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, showering your feet with the supernatural peace, holding up the shield of faith, you see, and taking the Word of God, which is the Spirit of God, and all that stuff we're supposed to do. But that's not twisting his arm. See, we're talking about the finished work of Jesus. All of that is doing is we're working our salvation on the outside. Amen? We're getting our minds to believe there truly is a God who wants to do miracles. So he'll just do a miracle for you because he loves us and because of Jesus Christ. We are in right standing with God the Father through Jesus Christ, not because we do something. Amen? So we want to talk about miracles, and if you're expecting or believing for a miracle and have been believing for a long time, God wants to do a miracle in our lives. Why? It brings glory to God. And it helps us believe. We're born again Christians. We get the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives, but it helps us believe. And you don't want to ever limit God. See, here's a God that spoke through donkeys, a donkey, you see. He done all kinds of strange things through Scripture, didn't he? Hallelujah. He put the planets up there, spoke to them. And there they were. And they've been there ever since he put them up there. And ever since he spoke them into existence, they're still there. I went out last night to turn, to close the doggie's door. And the sun, the moon was shining right in that room, right in that sunroom. And I looked at that and I said, God, you put that up there. The devil had nothing to do with it. The devil ain't got enough brains to do anything. We got the mind of Christ. Amen? We got the word of God. We're blood bought. We got the power. Amen? Hallelujah. So we need to get our eyes open for miracles. The apostles walked with Jesus. They got their eyes open. They saw him raise the dead, turn the water into wine, and do all kinds of different things. They had their eyes open. God wants us to open our eyes. He wants to open our eyes. You see, sometimes we got to get our eyes open to believe. And we ought to believe, but listen, God loves you, and God will do a miracle in your life. He done a miracle in my life, not because of anything I've done. He caused multiple sclerosis to come out of my body. He caused booze and drugs to leave my body. He caused hate and bitterness to leave my mind. God is a good God, and that takes a miracle to do that. So everybody here has seen a miracle because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You got God in you. Amen? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. So now that God is in us, Philemians 1:6, Jerry. Philemians 1:6. Hallelujah. This is a little direction we took last Sunday. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Philemians 1:6. Praise you, Jesus. It's coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. You want your faith to become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Guess what? There's miracle power in you in Christ Jesus. There's love in you in Christ Jesus. There's knowledge you in Christ Jesus. There's wisdom in you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So you daily you ought to acknowledge that. If you want to see miracles in your life, you say, you want to just let God's love touch you and cause a miracle to come into your life. Whether it be your marriage, finances, whatever it may be. Amen? For some people, we always assume everybody knows everything. So turn, if you would, Jerry, to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. Praise you, Jesus. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now turn to Jerry, if you would, 12:8. 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now turn to 10. We're just going to rush through this, saints, and then we'll settle in here a minute. 12:10. To another the working of miracles. See, there's a gift of working of miracles by the Holy Spirit within us. To another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now go to 12:28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administration, varieties, different types of tongues, and so on. So we see the Word of God tells us, the Bible says, he has put miracles in the body of Christ. He has put gifts of miracles and gifts of healings in the body of Christ. Amen? And usually when miracles are flowing, there is gifts of healing flowing and faith is flowing. It's like hand in glove. But we can see that God says he's putting miracles in the body of Christ. Well, most people don't preach on miracles. Most people don't talk about things because they're afraid to go in there, or they can't go in there, or they don't know how to get in there because their eyes have never been opened. They may see it in the Word of God, but sometimes we need to have God open our eyes and bring revelation to us about miracles through the Word of God. And then if you can accept and believe that by the Spirit of God that's in you, because you're going to identify that you have miracles or the gifts in you in Christ Jesus. You have his love in you in Christ Jesus. You see, and the Word of God is if I'm discussing anything with anybody, in my office, what I usually do is I say, I don't want your opinion, you don't want my opinion. Let's let God settle it. And then we have to accept that, whatever that discussion is going on. So when it comes to miracles, let's let God settle it. Never mind the charismatic, never mind the full gospel, Pentecostal. Let's let God settle it. His word settles it. Okay? Just because we haven't seen a miracle sometimes, well, you haven't looked in the mirror. If you're born again, you need to look in the mirror and see yourself as a born again, blood-bought, temple of the Holy Spirit, anointed with the mind of Christ. If you let the mind of Christ be in you, you see, everything you need is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So miracles are there, but here's the key, saints. We cannot twist God's arm. God loves us so much that he will do miracles. You see? And that's why I say someday we're going to see at Creative Faith Ministries, this place is going to be full or someplace else, wherever it may be, and people are going to be touched right there in the pews. People are going to stand up and say, my leg grew out, or whatever it may be. Cancer has left. How do you know cancer has left? There's no more pain. A lot of people have a lot of oppression and depression now in the mind. You're going to stand up and say, oppression's left. Depression's left. This lady sitting back here, we had a three-day stirring up the prophetic in us and so on and so forth. And she came here, and she was thinking about suicide. And she got set free. She's sitting right back there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So listen, saints. God can set your emotions free. God can set your mind free. And it's not wrong to pray and quote scriptures, but that don't twist God's arm. God loves us so much that he wants to do miracles in our lives. Why? He placed them in the church. He placed them in the body of Christ. He gave those gifts to the body of Christ. And it's up to the Holy Spirit which one he releases in each one of us. It's according to the Holy Spirit's will when he releases that. So God wants you to believe in miracles. God wants you to be able to, and don't have to say, well, I got to go out and fast for 40 days. I got to turn around three times and spit. There is sometimes requirements in some areas, but many times you see God doing miracles in people in the Bible without any conditions. Sometimes he didn't even require faith in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sometimes he did. Sometimes he said, do you believe I can do this? Other times he just did it. So we got a God that loves us, and the word settles it, that he's placed this in the body of Christ, miracles, in these other things right here. God has appointed, that's in us, the body of Christ, we are the church, these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. There's prophets today, there's apostles today, teachers today. After that, miracles and gifts of healings and ministry. So he needs to find some people that believe, and they'll be led by the Spirit of God to do this. That's what, it's not going to draw attention to me or you. It's going to draw attention to Jesus. It brings glory to Jesus. So we're going to let the Word of God settle it. What God's Word says settles it. So if you and I are in a discussion, you see, we all have different opinions, don't we? We've all been raised in different denominations and different things and so on and so forth. But let's just let the Word of God settle it. And I'm not here against the Methodists, the Baptists, the Catholics, and all that. I'm just here saying, let's let the Word of God settle it. And me and my wife were raised Catholics, and you can't get no further out than they were. You know, I was praying to statues and saying Hail Marys and Our Fathers and all that. Wasn't even saved, and so on and so forth. And I'm not going to come against them. I want the Word of God to settle it here. Not my opinion, not your opinion. So if you come from a different denomination, you came here to visit, don't worry about it. You're welcome. But we're going to let the Word of God settle it. If you just still disagree with the Word of God, there ain't nothing I can do for you. So a lot of people disagree with the Word of God. You know why? They were raised one way. And another thing is people don't want to make that full commitment. They just don't want to be changed and renew their minds. They just don't want to. You see, where the flesh will say, well, you have no, if you become saved, you won't have fun no more. There is so much fun. Friday night, the Spirit of God came on me, and I was so drunk. I was so drunk in the Spirit. People said, well, I don't believe that. Well, let's let the Word settle it. Well, I don't believe that. Well, let's let the Word settle it. If you want to argue with God, that's fine. Amen? And I'm not going to get into all this stuff of being, you know, and trying to show you and prove to you that you can be drunk in the Spirit. But the Spirit came on me, And I'm telling, and what it is you're not in control. You're just kind of staggering around, man, and laying hands on people and so on and so forth. And it doesn't happen all the time. You can't plan it. You can't make it happen. It just happens. Because I'm open to flowing in the Holy Spirit. Well, God will say, how much you open the flowing? Well, can I take control? Oh, absolutely, Lord. Now you can't stand up. You talk like a drunk person and everything else. And people say, oh, God, I didn't mean that. They're all looking at me. See, it doesn't bother me because I've been doing this for a lot of years. And so I accept what the Spirit of God wants to do in my life. But that's what we want to know today. We want to get established. Let God's word settle it. Everybody has different opinions. And there's no reason why we can't discuss things, but this is the final decision. Even if you want to, after discussing and showing it's God's word, if you want to disagree, that's fine. But don't come against me because I want to agree. Don't come against me because I want to see miracles, because God said I placed them in the church, and where the church, where the body of Christ, where sons and daughters, where kings and priests. That's what we are. That's what the Bible says we are. Well, don't get mad at me if I preach miracles. Well, I ain't ever seen one. You will. Because God loves you. And if you have that need in that area, praise God. So we went all through 1 Corinthians with the gifts of the Spirit are. Miracles show that God is real. Now, all of us want to see eyes open, wheelchairs. Can people come out of wheelchairs and everything else? If you don't believe you're a miracle, you say, in other words, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you're anointed, God lives in you. God the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lives in us. And the Holy Spirit represents the Father, represents Jesus. We don't worship the Holy Spirit, we worship Jesus. But he helps us do that. And he helps us sort this all out so we lift up Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We always draw attention to Jesus. He helps us do that. He helps us to become, get rid of our pride, to be humble. He helps us to renew our minds. He helps us to want to love Jesus so much that we want to change. Let the word settle it. The word, all this stuff is in the Word of God. Well, years ago when I was at booze problem, drug problem, and I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17 and I wanted to kill and all that stuff and everything else, that is not good thinking. You see? And so God, you see, after I got saved, God changed all that. I was willing to be changed. I said, God, I don't want to live in anger. I don't want to live in bitterness. I don't want to shoot somebody. You see? I don't want to get shot either. Well, before I got saved, I came home drunk one night and took a 357 Magnum and spun the cylinder and played Russian roulette, and it went off in my leg and broke my knee in five places, went down in my ankle, and a certain time later, I think it was 30 days, 60 days later, whatever, gangrene set in, they cut my leg off. So after that, I got saved. I was still miserable, still bitter, still running the old film. And God said, I'll teach you how to get that salvation, how to renew your mind, how to receive my love, how to receive my forgiveness. So I went into what I call the school of the Holy Ghost. This is the school of the Holy Ghost. And God says, if you let me do it, if you're willing to do this, I'll change your emotions. I'll change your thinking. I'll change your physical body. It took a long time. It didn't happen. It can happen like that. But with me, it didn't. God worked in my life, you see, and I got a miracle in my life. So I'm not going to stop talking about miracles because people disagree with it. The word settles it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We all know about Elijah and Elisha. He done 16 miracles. Elijah done twice as many, done 32 miracles. And we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ doing miracles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We receive the fullness of His Spirit. We should be able to be allowing that Holy Spirit to change us, change our thinking, and release gifts through us. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, saints, it's all of us here argue with God from time to time. Because when God does things in our lives, it's strange to the mind. I don't want to do that. That's foolishness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at some things, if you would, please. In John 14, 12, we won't look there, but in John 14, 12, Jesus said you can do the same and even greater. Can you imagine doing things greater? I can't, and I don't look for that. I don't want to think myself as greater than the Master, the King, our teacher, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I would like to have the gift of the Spirit flowing, the gifts of the Spirit flowing through me to help people. My mind, I can't help anybody. My emotions, I can't help anybody. All I can do is get mad. Or you tell people, you need to stand up and act right. Well, you ain't going to act anyway if you don't have the Holy Ghost. You see, you can't make somebody. God, the Holy Spirit in you and I, you see, He wants to take us into that school. He wants to show us that there is callings upon your life. There's callings upon the church, the body of Christ. And He wants to flow through us. And He wants us to believe in miracles. But at the same time, we had to pray, we had to do some fasting, but we're not doing that to twist God's arm. We're not doing that to get a miracle. Miracles belong to us. Why? He's placed them in the church. He's placed them in the gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ, has He not? Isn't that what the Word of God says? He's placed them here. And guess what? They're gifts. So all your praying and fasting ain't going to make it happen. You ought to pray. You ought to fast. You ought to speak the Word of God. Because all you're doing is renewing your mind and building God into your mind. But that's not making God do that. These are gifts. I placed them in the church. If I was to stand each one of you up here, I'll say, what gift you got going? What gift is God doing in your life? Well, some people don't want the gifts. You know why? You got to go to the Holy Ghost school and you got to change. And if God says, I'm going to come on you and you're going to feel drunk, God, I don't know about that. I don't want to stagger around in front of people. How much have you given God since you've been saved? How much have you given your mind to Him? Have you given your will to Him? Have you given your tongue to Him? Have you worked at taming your tongue? If you really want this, saints, and this, I'm not preaching this to make you do something. I'm just giving you information from the Word of God. Then it's entirely up to the Spirit of God in you to help you get this. So I'm not preaching it to say, you must, I'm not saying it for that reason. I'm just bringing you information, and I'm saying you got to stop listening to your opinion or my opinion, and this settles it right here. So what do you want operating through you? What have you desired? People can find out and discern very easily. What have you desired since you've been born again? There's something stirring in you, you see, a desire that comes from God. Whatever's the desire He's put in you, He'll help you develop it. But maybe He's wanting you to get rid of something in your life. Maybe He's wanting you to become humble. Maybe He's wanting you to get rid of pride. You know how much pride I had? The Marine Corps will teach you pride. You know how much pride I had? It was destroying. It'll destroy your saints. So God slowly starts cleaning you out. That in itself is a miracle. You know that? When God changed my mind and took MS out of me, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and He put the Spirit of God in me, that's a miracle. To know that your sins are forgiven and forgotten, that's a miracle. Who else? Anybody can do that. Most people can't even forgive. Oh, I forgive you. And they keep running the old film. It's still in their thinking. But when Jesus forgives your sins, you're not going to stand in front of Him, you remember when? No, it's under the blood. And the Holy Spirit will never remind you of sin that's under the blood. So if you're hearing about sin that you put under the blood, guess who's telling you that? It's the devil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Turn, if you would, Jerry, if you would. John 2. And sometimes I don't read the whole thing, but we're in chapter 2, Gospel of John. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Starting with verse 1, I'll skip on down through some things here. Jesus has come to a wedding now, and there's a need there. he's going to do a miracle without any requirements. Other than Mary said to him, do what he says. Have you ever thought of that? Let's get down through here. Now, the third day, verse 1, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited. I'm just going to read on down through. Invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says, do it. You have an opinion. I have an opinion. Whatever he says, we should do. You see what I'm trying to say here? You have an opinion. I have an opinion, you see. But whatever he says, we ought to learn to do. And the Holy Spirit in us can help us do that. Hallelujah. Now there were set there 6 water pots of some according to them the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, draw some out. That quickly. He's meeting a need now. They need some wine. He's not requiring a whole bunch of stuff. He just loves what he, there's a need there, and he's just going to show his power and his love and his miracle working power. Put some water in here and now draw it out. When they drew it out, it was wine. He had no grapes. He had nobody walking around stomping on him and so on and so forth. We're in verse 8. And he said to them, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew that the master of the feast called the bridegroom. Listen, saints, we are the bride. God wants to give us the best. When you and I get saved, he wants to give us the best. He doesn't want the old wine. He don't want to mix it. He wants to give us the best, you see. And so what he done here, his first miracle, he didn't require anything. He just required them to do what he said. Amen? And so I'm going to jump down to verse 11 now. The beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed him. That's what I'm trying to say today. Miracles help you believe. Miracles help you believe. The trouble is, I've had a miracle, you've had miracles in your body, and sometimes we forget, we stop believing. If there's a long time in between a healing or something like that, we have a tendency to start forgetting. But he done this, and the disciples believed when he done this. So the glory of God will come, it gives glory to God. Miracles help you believe. That's why we want to believe in miracles. That's why God put them in the church. That's why gifts are in the church, you see, to help us believe and also to set the oppressed and the captives free. People who are sick in their body. Because you are born again, you are blood bought, by the stripes of his back, you ought to be walking in healing. Well, in order to walk in healing, he can sovereignly do that, but the gifts of healing or miracles will help you get that healing in your body. Amen? So he done this miracle, and it helped the disciples, said the disciples believed him. It helped them believe when they saw a miracle. So I haven't shut up since I've been healed from multiple sclerosis. I haven't shut up since I've been renewing my mind. And I hammer it and I say it because why? The word settles it. Romans 12:2, don't conform this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you'll know and prove what the perfect will of God is. The perfect will of God is for you to walk in healing, for you to prosper, for you to have peace in your mind. If your mind is stayed on Jesus, you'll have peace in your mind. Amen? Hallelujah. And so miracles, saints, helps us believe. So you, first of all, I keep repeating, look at yourself. You are a miracle. You may have some physical problems, but you are a miracle because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. You have the mind of Christ. So just in that, your sins are forgiven. Just in that, that ought to help you believe. Instead of a so-and-so coming out of a wheelchair or blind eyes, so you believe, you ought to believe because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your sins are forgiven, washed in the blood. That's a miracle. That ought to help you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen? That should help us believe. But we demand to see other things, and we don't believe in the miracles in our lives. If you're charismatic and you're preaching about miracles, let's see you do one. Well, first of all, I got to remind you, you're a miracle. Do you believe that? No, no, I want to see something else. Well, you see, now God can sovereignly do it because he loves us, do a miracle in our lives, but when you go to the school of the Holy Spirit, he wants to start teaching us how precious we are to him, how we're washed in the blood, how we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, how we have the mind of Christ, how all the sins are forgiven and forgotten. He wants us to see that as a miracle so God the Holy Spirit can move you on and you're decreasing and he's increasing. Amen? Hallelujah. So he done those miracles in verse 11 again. This, the beginning of signs, God's a God of signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit in Hebrews 2:4. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Say he hasn't changed. Hallelujah. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. It manifested, it brought glory to him, and his disciples believed in him. See, I don't want you telling me you're walking by faith, and you got mind problems, you got this problem, that problem. Don't you believe that he washed you in the blood? Don't you believe that you got the mind, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in you? Why are we fighting with all this oppression and depression? Why? Because the enemy's throwing dots in our mind, and we're not holding up the shield of faith. We're not. You see, if I was preaching Friday about Elijah, how God blinded the whole army. Have you ever thought of asking Jesus to blind Satan when you're going to get a job? Have you ever thought of God to ask blind Satan when you're looking for the gold, Dan? Because he'll do, he's, meaning Satan, he'll do everything he can to get your mind on or off from, to see what you're trying to get done. To get your eyes, God wants to open your eyes, Satan wants to close your eyes, but he blinded a whole army. Didn't he? And the guy said, we're not afraid of Elijah, and he sent a whole army to get him. God blind them. Take this sight away. Now, he asked them to put his sight back in. They did, but he blinded them. Had you ever thought about this authority, this power, that God will do a miracle in your life? Let's say you're looking for a job or something about your marriage or your grandkids or your kids, and it just seems to be a battle. It just seems there's something, you know, I pray and I speak in the name of Jesus, and it just doesn't work. You ever thought about asking Jesus, Lord, blind him. He's been interfering with me long enough. Blind him, Lord. Well, Peter was in jail, and he blinded the guards and brought Peter out of jail. Let the word settle it. Walked right by guards. You can walk right by Satan, head on to get your job or finances or whatever it may be, and he could be blinded. Why? Jesus created him. He's Lord. He's Lord over the universe. He's Lord over principalities and powers. He disarmed them. Sometimes we arm them with our thinking and our attitudes and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. But God wants you to know today that miracles will help you believe. First, you've got to believe that your sins are forgiven. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, identifying with all those good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. God said, I put miracles in the church. I put the gifts of miracles in the church. Say, I'm the church. Well, in order to operate in them, you've got to be taught by the Holy Spirit. This is the school of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because when you start operating in the gifts, it has nothing to do with your education. It's got to do with the education of the Spirit of God, the supernatural. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't sit here and think it through in the natural and want to flow in the gifts, because God uses your spirit by the Holy Spirit, and he transfers things into your thinking. That sounds strange, don't it? Well, it is strange. God uses his spirit. He don't use your mind. That doesn't mean your mind is no good. But when it comes to God and flowing in the Holy Spirit and expecting miracles, you've got to have the Holy Spirit help you. Everybody, if I stood everybody up before I preached and I said, you believe in miracles? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. How come you didn't receive one? God loves you. He'll do a miracle for you. How come your mind is still in the same mindsets? How come you're still running the old film? And you've been born again how long? God will do a miracle in your mind. He'll do a miracle in your emotions. See, I've never complained about my leg. This is plastic. I've never complained about it. When I first started walking on one of these things, when I was preaching, I used to have blood poison, sores on my leg, man. And guess what? When I was preaching, I never felt anything. The minute it was done, oh, my God, pain came from everywhere. And I said, now, what is that all about? How strange can God get? So you won't be interfered. Your mind won't be on the pain. He would take pain away from my leg, and I had big sores and blood poison and everything else until I found out that they had made a different kind of a leg, and I was stubborn. I ain't going down there and get that leg. I ain't going down there and do that, Lord. You're just going to give me a leg, and I'm not going down there to get that. And I kept getting sores, kept getting blood poison and everything else, and all of a sudden I had a strap that came over the top of the knee, had a rivet in it, and the rivet broke out of it. And I searched everywhere in that car when I was getting out of the automobile. The rivet fell out somewhere. I couldn't find it. God said, will you go down now? And I walked down the leg holding a thing like this and walking in saying, because hey, if I let go of the strap, the leg would have fallen off. And I got this new leg. Haven't had any sores. Hadn't had any blood poison. What have you been stubborn about? I ain't going to do it that way. I'm just going to. You know, we always read about or hear the story about the guy on the roof. There's a big flood. The boat comes by. No, Jesus is going to save me. Finally, he falls off the roof or something, drowns, and when he meets Jesus, why didn't you save me? He says, I sent two boats by. Amen? So miracles will help you believe, saints. And I'm not saying they happen here, don't happen anyplace else. But I believe that the Word settles it. I believe in miracles because miracles have been in my body. Miracles have been in our marriage. We have been in ministry 35 years, never taken up a collection. And we pay $6,600 a month here. And never had to beg for it. Well, how's it come in? I wish I knew. I'm not going to interfere with it. It just comes in. People just give. Now, it's not wrong to do that. It's wrong for me to do it. You see? I believe if God's a God that can do miracles, he loves us, he can bring the money in here. Amen? Why hasn't he grown your leg out? Why don't you talk to him about it? I don't grow legs out. He does. So I don't have any problem with it. Hallelujah. And then when I got down and got that new leg and all the blood poison left, I said, Lord, what else have I been stubborn about? It's almost you could hear him say, you got a couple hours? Because when it comes to miracles and it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, everything is different, saints. It's really strange. And you have to learn the strangeness of God, the way he wants to do it, the way this confirms it in here. Amen? How would you like to be a prophet riding down the road one day on a donkey, and he tells the prophet, get off the donkey, shut up and go and sit down. He speaks to a donkey. I bet we'd all be saying, I bind you, Satan! I bind you, Satan! Hallelujah. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Hallelujah. 14. 33. I'm just going to go to 33. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the water. How would you like to be out fishing? Trout, whatever it may be. And you look up and Jesus is coming across the lake. Walking on the water. You'd probably say, come on, feet, do your stuff. That is really, really, but that's a miracle. You see, miracles help people believe. At first, they were frightened. They didn't know who it was until he spoke, but he's coming walking across the water. See, God wants to do miracles. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. He's here. I don't see him. Maybe you need to get your eyes opened. If he's here, he says, where two are gathered in my name, if he's here, why couldn't he sovereignly touch pain? Lungs, kidneys, pancreases, minds. He can do that. But you know something, saints? He loves to share himself with us. That's what the gifts are about. He loves to share himself with us. He loves to flow that through us. As sons and daughters, kings and priests, he loves to share that with us. But we're going to do it his way. So Jesus, a second miracle, he's walking on the water. Hallelujah. And when the disciples saw him, verse 26, walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. You know, sometimes, saints, when God shows up, manifest, Jesus manifests or an angel manifests, I'm talking about it could, to your flesh, become very, very scary. But there's such a peace with him, it'll overcome that. Everybody, you know, the years ago, they used to have Casper the Ghost. Remember that? Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Wouldn't you like to be fishing for trout, and he's about maybe 100 yards out, and it's about 30 feet deep or 50 feet deep out there? Is that you, Jesus? Yeah, come on out here. Duh. So he said, come, and then Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw that the wind, you see, every time you're expecting a miracle, every time there is something that tries to interfere with it. And when the wind blew and he got his eyes on that, you see, he started to sink. Of course, Jesus saved him, but you see, that's the reason why I'm saying, Jesus, close their eyes. Close their eyes so I can receive. Open mind so I can believe. Put the salve on my eyes and so on and so forth. Because you know something, saints? He's going to call you into the supernatural. He's going to call you into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you're not careful and you get your sight on other things while you're operating in the Spirit, it'll grieve the Spirit and you shut it down that quick. And you know what you'll do? You'll blame it on the people. Dang people. They don't know how to flow in the Holy Ghost. Because it gets scary in the supernatural realm. And we don't want to take, oh, it wasn't an idea. I didn't do anything. I'm preaching. We got to blame somebody. See? Hallelujah. So God's going to call you in the supernatural realm. He's going to get you to believe in miracles if he's going to release that gift through you. And he's going to teach you how to keep your eyes on Jesus when you're operating in the Holy Spirit. How to keep your eyes on Jesus. He's going to teach you how to come out to him. Into that realm beyond this flesh. You don't have to do it. If you don't ever have to do it. As long as you're saved, that's the most important thing. And you're going to heaven. You're blood bought. Amen? But I'm just preaching this because I really feel that impressed by God to keep putting it on people, telling people you got to call upon your life. We're the body of Christ. He's put miracles and he's put gifts in here. But when he calls you into a gift, it ain't going to operate. Just think of speaking in tongues. I mean, that is really strange, man. We don't know what we're saying, but we're saying it. It's God's language. Yet we have trouble with the other things. Even when you're speaking in tongues, you may get thoughts in your mind, bombarded in your mind about things. See, God's going to call you out, saints. And I guess what? When he calls you out, it may be real scary. But I'll never forsake nor leave you. I'll be with you. And if your mind stays on me, my peace will be upon you. God's going to call us out. We're coming into this end time. I'm going to close here in a minute. But if you would, turn to Habakkuk. Jerry, please. Habakkuk, chapter 1. Have you been complaining about some things? I have. We're talking about the end time and everything else. Look what he says here. Oh, Lord, how long will I shall I cry? This is a prophet now. And you'll not hear me. Even cry out to you, violence, and you'll not save. Why do you show me sin or iniquity and cause me to see trouble for plundering and violence are before me? There is strife and contention arises, and there is the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, and therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Now, this is the prophet. I want you to see if you can get the picture here. This is a prophet saying this. He's complaining to God. You and I sometimes have been saved for a long time. When, God? When is this going to happen? When are we going to see revival? When are you going to get the Spirit of God flowing through me? There's all kinds of sinners out there, and they're doing all kinds of things. And there's all kinds of earthquakes, and people are killing one another, and people are smoking pot and taking drugs and everything else. When are you going to do something? God replies. Listen now. Verse 5. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. See, God's got a time for us. He's going to do miracles in our lives. I want to back that up one more time by turn to Acts 13. Acts 13, 40. It's strange how it shows up there. Acts 13, 40. We're looking at 39, 40, and 41. If you got it, Jerry, Acts 13, 40. Go 39 first. Back up one, Jerry. There you go. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now 40. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Next one, 41. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days. I work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. So I come declaring miracles, you see, from the Word of God, confirmed in the Word of God, and it's going to be trouble believing. You know why? Because the Spirit of God or things in the spirit realm is different. It's hard to believe it. And so the prophet is saying, he's saying, my God, I'm seeing, when are you going to do something, God? Have you ever thought that in your own life, your marriage or whatever? When are you going to do it? I've been praying, I've been tithing, when are you going to do something? He said, unless I open your eyes, he said, you won't believe. So we're not such a big shot after all, are we? I send people to tell you. And you have trouble believing it. Because just as he closed the eyes of the army, you see, he wants to open your eyes to revelation. He wants to flow the gifts through you. He wants to move through you. But sometimes people come and tell you about miracles and tell you about God and tell you about the supernatural, you see, and we can't believe it, even though we're born again. The prophet couldn't believe it. And repeat in the book of Acts. Why is that? Because if you're not taught by the Holy Spirit, you see, because it's a different realm. It's not this realm, saints. It's the realm of the supernatural. It's another whole realm. And you see it from Genesis to Revelation, when people, prophets and apostles walked in it. But the apostles had their eyes open because they walked with Jesus. They saw him doing it. You and I read about it, and our eyes sometimes ain't open. Sometimes we say, well, that's kind of foolish. I don't know why God done that. So when someone comes presenting miracles, the gifts of the Spirit, letting the Word of God settle it, we argue with God. We can't believe it, saints. We need the work of the Holy Spirit to help us believe it. And then he schools you, you see. He put miracles in the church, in you and I. He put the gifts in here. He says, I want you to flow in. I want you to move in. But you can't move by your mind. You're going to have to move by my Spirit. That's why he trained John, put him on the Isle of Patmos, and look at all the strange things that he saw. We need to get on a Patmos journey. Because John said, I only did things as when I was in the Spirit. Amen? So this is to stir some things up in you and I and make you aware you can't make the decision. This has already settled it. He says, you wouldn't even believe I told you about it. But when I demonstrate it, when I demonstrate a miracle, you'll believe it. When I demonstrate a miracle, if I just tell you about it, you won't believe it. But if I demonstrate a miracle, you'll believe it. Amen? Hallelujah. Though one word to declare it to you, you see, that's what we do. We preach the Word of God. We declare it, you see. Then it takes him to do a miracle, so we believe it and brings glory to God. You see how that all came together? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, praise you, Jesus. If you would, Jeff, put on nine in the black. Hallelujah. Let's just take a minute and worship him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is calling us to the other side, saints. He's calling us to operate in the gifts and miracles. He's calling us, and he's the only way. That's how you get over there, through Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit in us. You see, he'll teach you about the other side. He'll teach you about the supernatural realm. All the gifts, the word of knowledge, wisdom, faith, healings and miracles, and tongues, interpretation, tongues of prophecy, and discerning of spirits, is all the other side. It's all the other side, saints. Miracles, it's all the other side. You see, tongues, it's the other side. I can't believe we so accept tongues and we speak in tongues and practice it, but we have trouble with the other things. Well, he's the bridge. Jesus, you see, if you get into Jesus and get about Jesus, not yourself, you see, like he said to Peter, come on out here. He's going to tell you, come on out here. I got something for you. Can you trust me? Can you come out here and trust me? Can you come out? Can you cross over the bridge through me, saith the Lord, and can you trust me? It's going to be different. People may come against you. They called Jesus the devil and everything else and said, you ain't got no right saying that. But Jesus said, no, I have all the right in the world because I say what the Father says and I do what the Father does. You ain't no son of God. Who do you think you are? You see, when you start moving across the bridge into Jesus and the deep and depths of Jesus and the Spirit of God starts working through you, people are going, you think people would embrace the supernatural. They don't. Let me just give you a little hint. They don't do it. They want to come against you. They want to talk about you. They want to put you down. There's Mayo over there giving words. Who's he think he is? Talking all that stuff. You didn't save me. You didn't call me. Jesus did. I told someone about healings and miracles that created faith, and I said the first thing I ask and make sure is the people pick up the rocks before I start getting too deep in it, so they won't start throwing rocks at me. Stone him! He says, wow, false prophet! Praise God. Amen? Jesus is the bridge, saints. He called Peter out. Peter got his eyes on other things. What is he trying to do in your life when you got your eyes on other things? You got your eyes on yourself? Or you got your eyes on what he said and she said? Or you got your eyes on something else? You see, Jesus said, I'm the bridge. The gifts are the bridge. You come across and you operate in the supernatural realm. If you ever study God from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find it. This is the God that saved me. He was teaching the people in the New Testament, and he said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh. Ain't that cannibalism? Jesus done a lot of strange stuff. That is strange. Back then, no Bible, no understanding of that, and he just blurts it out. Well, that's what he's going to do with you and I. He's going to call you out. He's going to take you across the bridge. Let's let him be. We're going to go deeper in Jesus. You see, he's already in the supernatural. We're going to go deeper in Jesus. How many here would like to be called out? You see, you're willing to pay the price, decrease so he can increase. You're willing to go to the school of the Holy Spirit, get rid of pride, humble yourself, and don't touch unclean stuff. He says, you're my son, you're my daughter, I'll be your father. But don't touch unclean things. That's not mine. Let the word settle it, you see. So when he rose from the dead, the reason why he appeared to Mary Magdalene and not the apostles, because the apostles had a hard heart and unbelief going on. So what did he do? He judged or corrected them. But he appeared to a woman who he ran seven demons out of because she believed it. They got into a hard heart and unbelief. God didn't send them to hell. He just said, yeah, this can't go on. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. This young man sitting in the back in the red, way in the back. What's your first name? John. Woo. Take him over to Patmos, Jesus. No, I'm only kidding you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. There has been some delays in things in your life. It was purposely held back by God. But God says, my son, my grace is going to start flowing in your life. And you're going to recognize the grace that you have favor with me. And you, in my name, are going to bring it to pass. The delays will no longer be there. They shall manifest for my glory because I declare it today in your life. I bring you out of the old man that has been hanging around for some time, and I'm bringing you into the revelation light of the new man. And when you get into new man, and I'll teach you how to do that, saith the Lord, by my spirit, the delay will no longer be there. You shall be awakened to some things that you've been talking about and you've been praying about, but you have never got the manifestation. But God says today, new beginnings will start in your life, and the delays will no longer be, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Praise you, Jesus. Somebody here, God's calling you to ache. You have an ache in your wallet. A pain in your wallet. God has never held back anything. He loves us, and he wants to do a miracle to take care of that pain in your finances. But you check yourself out and see what you've been doing. What have I been stubborn about? What have I been stubborn about? What have I not been doing, and this settles it. I don't want to argue with anybody. I don't want to discuss it with anybody. This settles it. There's something you're doing wrong. And God wants to bless you. And God wants to do a miracle on your behalf. Amen? And so that pain in your wallet, I can see a minus. I can see it decreasing right now. Because you're willing to accept the fact it's not God, but it's me. Do I have bitterness? Do I have unforgiveness? Do I have anger in my life? Am I a person that tithes? As you purpose in your heart, as Paul taught, what is holding it back? Maybe you do all those things, but maybe there's some things in you that God's trying to remove from your life. God's calling you out from yourself. First of all, I want you to get out of the old man, and I'm calling you into the new man. And I'm going to show you, because God is strictly a blessing God, a loving God, a God that wants to do miracles in our lives. Amen? You all agree with that? If something is lacking, and it could be season now, it could be it's just not the right season for your life. In Galatians, it talks about, you know, sowing to the Spirit. You have a due season, you shall reap if you faint not. God has seasons in his life for our lives. And what brings a season about is how much am I willing to change? Because God looks at our heart. And if God was to give me $1 million, would I be on Waikiki Beach tomorrow? Well, when you're honest, saints, a lot of us would. I ain't had a vacation in 2 years. I'm out of here. Then you'll get over there with all that money, and you'll get tempted before you know it. You'll be with somebody you ain't supposed to be with, taking smoking those funny cigarettes or something. Once you open the door. So there's something in all our lives, my life, your life. Can God trust you with money? You say, absolutely. Really? Listen, saints, the same God that made the wine for the wedding, he sees his sons and daughters hurting. He sees the pain in the wallet. And he's trying to get you and I to understand something. He's trying to get us to flow from his wisdom. There's always something in everybody's life, in my life, in your life, that you're not doing right. See, sometimes we choose and pick the way we want to do it. Oh, God don't care. You know, we ought to look at Esther. How long did she spend before she went in the king's presence? Perfuming herself, cleansing herself up and everything else. We want to go in the presence with all our junk and everything. You know why? And God's not against you doing that. You know why he doesn't allow you to do that? His purity would kill you if you got all that junk in you. And that's for me, too. I'm constantly humbling myself. I'm constantly saying, God, what am I doing wrong? I mean, you know, you got to, and you open yourself up and you just wait, and all of a sudden you say, oh, my God, I didn't think I was doing that. I didn't mean no harm by it, God. And you won't hear nothing. You'll just say, do it. Faith, obedience. Hallelujah. Amen? So if you're lacking money, you're lacking love, if you're lacking the anointing, it isn't God. Every promise in Jesus is yes, yes. And we, if we identify with all those good things that are in us in Christ Jesus, and you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, what's holding this back? Maybe you're mean-spirited. You know something? Why it took me so long, there was some things I just wouldn't let God touch. I ain't doing that, God. I can handle this. Hallelujah. Then we make up all these little things that we do. See, I'm doing this, God. I'm twisting your arm, God. You've got to give in. 10 years later, I'm doing this, God. I'm still twisting your arm. And Jesus is saying, I'm right here. Come on out here. Leave yourself. Come on out here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise you, Jesus. God is stirring some things in you. And God says, my daughter, when you recognize it, and you have recognized it, when you give me your complete life, when you stop looking back, when you stop running the old film, it keeps coming on you from time to time. God says your countenance will change, your heart will change, because I'm in love with you, and I'm going to release things in your life that you thought you would never receive or never feel from God. God says you have lacked love for a long time. You haven't even felt my love in the fullness. But God says I want you to walk in it, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to teach you how to do it, and you're going to feel my love in the fullness, which you've never felt. God says, this is what I speak into your life. This is what I tell you today. And God says, hold on to it, because he comes and tries to steal my love out of your life by getting you to wander back in the old film. But God says, I'll keep you out of that film as your mind is stayed on me. Peace will be in your life. And the longer the peace stays there, the more the love will manifest for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's your first name again, dear? Yep. Yep. Deborah? Hallelujah. God says, Deborah, you won't be disappointed again. God says he's moved you into a whole new realm. It's in your thinking, and God says all you got to do is agree with my spirit. Don't grieve my spirit. Give no place to the devil. And the devil can come through people. But you won't be disappointed again, because God's moving on your behalf in some areas that hasn't been touched by God. He's just kind of let it be out there, but now he's calling you out. He's saying you won't be disappointed. When you come out to me and you come in and be obedient to the things, you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed, because you will experience things of me, saith the Lord, that you have never experienced before. And my presence don't disappoint, but it fills you, it turns you, it cleans you, it shakes you, and it causes you to realize that you're my property, you belong to me. So God says, no more disappointed, no more disappointments. You're coming into my realm, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. What's your name back here again? You told me when you walked to the door in the red shirt with your hand like this. Orbo. You know, there's some real battles in your thinking about some things. Have you been to college? You never have? So you're just what? Just high school graduate? God says because of that, and he's not against education and educating the mind and everything else, but there's some real struggles within you about some things. And some of these things, I can see a trail going back years. And you've never closed. There's a gate that God has given you the power to close a gate. There's a trickle of things coming down this little stream-like that keeps flooding into your life. And God says, my son, if you close the gate, if you completely have confidence and faith in me and be obedient to what I'm going to ask you to do, God says you'll arrive at a different place in me that you have never been before. Yes, it's already been prepared for you. You'll come into a place in me and a door will be open and you'll understand some things that you don't quite understand. You have tossed with this and tossed with that, and you haven't made up your mind what is right and what is wrong, but my spirit will be upon you, and it'll teach you the spirit of truth and not the spirit of error. So God says today, new beginnings will start in your life. I prophesy it in your life because I'm speaking by the spirit of God, by the living spirit of God into your life. Changes will start happening in your life, and you'll learn how to close the gate. And when you close that gate, happiness will come into your life. There has been big struggles in your emotions about being happy. Happiness will come into your life. Because there is a fruit of the Spirit called joy, and you're going to have a joy when the gate is closed, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Does anybody here need prayer for anything? If you need prayer, come up here right now. Come up here right now. Just jump out of the seat and come up here. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise you, King Jesus. Praise you, King Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Everybody raise their hands here. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just a touch from Jesus. A touch from Jesus. Oh, a touch from Jesus. Oh, a touch from Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch from Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch from Jesus. I touch you right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Some joy and happiness has come to you because truth always brings joy and happiness. So God says, my daughter, there's going to be some staying with you, some joy and happiness. And you're just going to let it settle there, and you're not going to try to use it or do anything with it. You're just going to let it settle on your life because you'll be in the joy and the happiness, and you're going to see turnarounds. You're going to see people's lives turned around. And you're going to know because you've been praying for individuals that now joy is going to stay with you and happiness is going to stay with you because the manifestation of your prayers, the intercessory prayers, that which you've been praying for, you can see it changing. You can see it turning. You can see God working in people's lives. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus, for this, Lord. We thank you for this encouragement, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, King Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Father God, I touch him right now, Lord, in the blessed holy name of Jesus. Oh, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord, upon this man, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come over here. Pray for these two right here. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father God, I touch him right now, Lord. Oh, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the presence of the Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Of the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, ooh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I just wave my hand by faith, Lord, and obedience, Lord, that the financial blessings, Lord, will come into these people's lives, Lord. All who have a need, our God shall supply their need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that they'll be able to receive it because they can do all things through Christ that strengthens them. We thank you for the strength of your word, the strength of your Holy Spirit in people's lives right now, Lord. We thank you for the teaching and counseling and comforting of the Holy Spirit in their individual lives, Lord. We thank you for the healing in marriages, Lord. We're healing in grandchildren and children, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for healing in the marriages, Lord. We just give you praise and honoring glory, Lord, because you want to do miracles in your body. We are your body, Lord Jesus Christ, and you placed them in the body of Christ. So we just give you praise, Lord. You're going to do miracles because it's going to help us believe, Lord, and it's going to bring glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So we give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, as I raise my hand right now, Lord, just asking, Lord, and prophesying and speaking it into the people's lives, Lord, that we'll have testimonies, Lord, for the glory of Jesus, testimonies about finances, about healed bodies, about healed minds, Lord, about miracles that are happening in their families, Lord, miracles that are happening in people's emotions, Lord, in people's minds, Lord, right now, Lord. They're feeling better. They're feeling refreshed. You've touched them because where two are gathered in your name, there you are, Lord Jesus. So we exalt and lift you up, and we draw all attention to you. You are the Master. You are the Lord. You are the Son of the Most High God. We honor you today, Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise you, and we speak from our mouths that we love you, Lord Jesus, and we love your correction, and we love your word, Lord Jesus, and we love the power of your Holy Spirit that's helping us to get rid of pride and humbling ourselves in your sight, Lord. You want to do things in our lives, Lord. We all need to ask the Lord to discern our own lives, standing in the mirror and saying, I'm a miracle. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. My sins are completely, totally forgiven. I'm in right standing, Father God. So if I'm all of that, what is wrong? It may be some rebellious fleshly stuff. And so God's asking you to examine yourself. So we give you praise and honor and glory for your love, Lord, for your peace, your gentleness of your Holy Spirit that will help us come out of ourselves and cross over the bridge into you, Lord Jesus Christ, in a whole different way, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.